It's time to tee it up with On the Tee, talking the wide world of golf from the PGA to the Champions Tour, LPGA, college, high school, and the crazy world of the Hack Nation. And here's your head of the Hack Nation and your host, Mike Rickard.
Testing. Welcome to On the Tee. Oh, we're going. We're on. We're live. All right. Fumbling off the tee. But look, here. Let's kick it off the right way. Good morning. Welcome to On the Tee, the newest addition to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio and streaming TV, Hoovy.tv network, week number 5 on this April 23rd, 2022. I'm the Big O, Oscar Garner III. Mike is out this week, but we still got a killer show. I got my buddy Alex here. We'll intro him in a second. We're here every Saturday from 11 to 12, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studio, just a driver away from Tropicana Field. Not my driver. I want to stress that real early. We bring you the entire world of golf every week from PGA, championships, LPGA, collegiate, and high schools in the Sunshine State, the Mecca of golf, home of golf. Come on now. Of course, we'll add plenty of hack humor for you members of the Hack Nation who just love the sport for the enjoyment, camaraderie, and excuse to get away from the honeydews on a beautiful Saturday. We'll insert Caddyshack, Happy Gilmore, Tin Cup, and your own personal stories of laughter and off-the-wall occurrences on the course, all part of On the Tee. We'll talk James Poulter. We got him coming up at 11:15. No relation to Ian. He'll be talking to Chichi Rodriguez, first tee program, something that's very near and dear to my heart. We'll get to that in a second. And the John Rieger Golf Report at 11:35, Florida's foremost expert on the wide world of golf across America and the Sunshine State. On the Tee is archived on our Hoovy TV channel and streaming on RadioSt.Pete.com. And let's recognize our broadcasting partners on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network with our affiliates WTAN 106.1 FM and AM, 1340 Tampa St. Pete Clearwater, WZHR FM 104.3 FM, WDCF AM 1350 Zephyr Hills, WZHR 102.3 FM AM 1400. Man, that is a mouthful. Alex, I have my buddy here today. Like I said, Mike is out. Big O is taking over for this Saturday. I want to introduce my buddy Alex. He's a Penn Stater. I'm a Michigan Stater. We got this Big Ten thing going. I'm not going to take his thunder, though. I appreciate you coming, Alex. How about you introduce yourself?
Well, thank you for that introduction, Oscar. I'm very excited to be here. Very excited to be sitting next to a Big Ten guy, as always. It's the best conference in the country, and I'll stand by that point. But it's a beautiful Saturday here in St. Petersburg, Florida. I mean, I'm looking at a Major League Baseball stadium, drinking a nice Celsius, and I'm ready to talk some golf, talk some sports. We got I don't want to call it the sports equinox right now, but we have a ton of action across plenty of leagues right now. I mean, we got baseball, we got NBA playoffs, NHL.
Well, you were just in that stadium last night.
I was.
And you saw some good action. What did you see last night?
We saw a great game. Didn't go the way we wanted it to. If you're a Rays fan, such as myself, you know, I'm wearing my Tyler Glasnow jersey, hoping he gets back here by the end of the season. We don't know. He's coming off that rotator cuff injury, but yeah, I mean, Wander Franco, that guy's the real deal. I don't know if I could talk golf all day because I think my knowledge gets limited to a certain point, but I could talk Wander Franco all day because that man is the next superstar of baseball. I'm ready to say it.
Well, look, we're gonna talk baseball another time.
I agree.
We're definitely on a golf platform here, so
let's,
we want to stay on topic.
Golf.
Look, we got the Zurich Classic
of
New Orleans going on right now. Let's go over the leaderboard. We got Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele with a one-stroke lead right now. They tee off at 12:45. Of course, this is day 3 of this alternating shot platform. We have Lipsky and Rye, minus 16. Ryder and Redmond, minus 16. Skins and Taren, minus 15. Tringle and Clark, minus 15. It's very tight right now.
It is
extremely tight. This is exciting. Do you have anybody that you like coming out of here? Any pairings that you've seen?
Well, you know, you and I were talking about this the other day when we saw that this tournament was this weekend, and I think we mentioned Schauffele and Cantlay being two of the best in the field and being paired up together. So I believe you get to pick your own teammate.
That's what I'm not sure how this platform goes. So you get to pick your own teammate.
You get to pick your own teammate as long as they are on the tour or they have a special exemption.
So, that's kind of cracked. That they got to pick each other.
I didn't also realize this was the only team based tournament on the PGA Tour,
and that's why it's so special. Because I think people come off the Masters, they get kind of this Masters hangover, and they miss the kind of the next couple weekends because they were so enthralled with that event. But I mean, this is just as good, right? You get the RBC and then you have
RBC
this. Come
great.
On.
Yeah, I mean, we've had it's a great tournament time. Obviously, we got some great tournaments coming up over the summer, the PGA Championship.
Yes,
we got
sir.
The Open. I mean, but right now, the PGA Tour, I mean, there's 400 FedEx points on at stake right now. We got plenty of action in this one. I mean, you got big scores. I wanted to ask you about this. So I love the Masters because you see these low scores that are the driver and are the winners. I mean, what was the final score that that we saw here at the Masters? Do you remember?
Oh, no, I don't remember.
But it's low. I mean, because those greens are tough, those fairways are narrow, and you got the actual drama, the pressure of the Masters. But when you go to one of these Opens, you see some really low scores put up, and I think I personally like to see the guys struggle. You know, it makes me feel more
makes
comfortable.
Makes you feel a little human.
Game.
It makes them
yeah.
look a little bit more human. Makes you feel more comfortable.
Exactly. Then again, if I got onto the Masters Tour, I'd probably the Masters course, I'd probably put up a +100. But you know, I definitely yeah. enjoy.
At least you got on.
Exactly. Hey, that would be the dream. But no, I think we got an exciting tournament here in Zurich. The alternating format, like you said, is mm-hmm. very entertaining. We got a pretty good field. Like you said, we're coming off Spieth's big win at the RBC. That was a lot of fun.
Well, now that you mentioned that, because we definitely got to go over the world golf rankings. Spieth, even with that win, is still number 20, right behind Bryson DeChambeau. Top 10 right now, we have Scheffler, who of course came off his biggest win of his career.
Absolutely.
Morikawa, who is a certified assassin on the course.
Yeah.
Rahm, who had his success during COVID, basically. He was the pandemic beast.
He was.
Hovland, Smith, Cantley, who's looking to exercise some demons this weekend after a massive choke job, if you ask me.
Yeah.
McIlroy, Thomas, and Johnson. That's our – oh, wait, and then Burns, who's number 10. Shoffley's right outside, so a win this weekend, I imagine, points-wise, might put him in the top 10. So
yeah.
this is an exciting weekend. We do have a we do have an interview coming up. We have James Poulter. I'm going to give him a call. We're going to ask him a few things. He's going to talk Chichi Rodriguez. We might get a chance to get his opinion on what's going on in golf right now. But he's got a special message for us with the First Tee program. So I'm going to give him – let's effort him real quick. Give my man a call.
Sounds good to me. I'm excited to hear what he has to say. Excited to talk some golf. You know, like we said, it's an exciting time of year. FedEx Cup's really starting to get going. We got plenty of guys in action.
Well, here, we're dialing him right now, so let's see what we can get out of my friend here. Oh, wait, hold on. We got to get this thing connected here.
While you're calling him, I just want to say, I think the tournament in...
Hey, Norway, buddy, can you hear me?
Oh, we brought him on.
Oh,
there we go.
Live, we got you right here.
Hey.
James, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. So, right, like I told, you know, we talked a couple hours ago and just preface what this interview is going to be about. But I want to give you a chance to give an intro, give a little bit of a bio for the background. You know, I'm not very familiar with your background. I have my co-host here, Alex. He liked know a little bit more about you. And then, of course, we're going to talk Chichi Rodriguez chapter of the First Tee program. But I'm not going to steal your thunder, James. I'll let you go ahead.
Awesome. Well, morning. So my name is James Poulter. I am the CEO of the Chichi Rodriguez Youth Foundation. So I have actually been with the foundation for 18 years. Moved over from England in 2003. I started volunteering at the foundation and have been there ever since. So it's a great program. I love it.
Okay. Now, this is something that's very near and dear to my heart. Youth organizations surrounded by golf. Now, when I was on the website, I was reading a little bit about the organization. It's less about the golf and more about instilling values in the youth with golf as a medium. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, golf's a great vehicle to teach the kids a great game and some really good life skills. So our main mission actually is that we operate a public school. So there's 90 kids that go to school there every day, and they are identified as being at risk. They're performing below grade level, so we help them get back on track. And we use golf and the First Tee curriculum in their PE time, in the after school mm-hmm. programs, on the weekends, and in summer camps. So it's a great golf. Golf's a great sport to teach the 9 core values that the First Tee has as part of their curriculum.
Now, I love that. Now, when you're bringing these kids in, how are you locating these kids? Are you in touch with the local school program? I know this is a Pinellas County thing. How are you getting in touch with these kids? How are you getting them in? What does that kind of pipeline into the program look like? And then also, are you doing anything afterwards? I know these kids, you know, this is for the youth, kind of into their teenage years. How are they getting in? And then what does the after look like once you've kind of gone through this program?
Yeah, definitely. So the kids that come to the school there are referred to as from the school system through local schools and local guidance counselors. And, you know, so we work with them and help them get back on track. And then ideally they'll stay with us through eighth grade. Once they leave eighth grade, as long as they stay in Pinellas County, we can track them through the school system, keep in touch with them and help them out where they need it. And then also, too, we offer scholarships for them to continue on their education. So as long as they're staying in school and have a decent GPA, we provide scholarships for them to continue on so they can go on to some higher learning stuff as well.
Now, see, this is beautiful because when you touch on the scholarships, you're touching on something that is very near and dear to my heart. I am somebody who would not have been able to go to college had it not been for people like you, organizations like this. I'm a product of the Western Golf Association Evans Scholar Program.
So okay. Yeah.
I imagine you're familiar being with First Tee. It's a very similar type of mentorship. You know, this is more, my program is more college centered, but they bring you into the fold, kind of mentor you up and get you ready to go to school. So when you bring up the scholarships, now that is something that keeps the youth involved. It keeps their mind remembering what the game of golf has done for them, and also the values that they learned on the course, because that exposure is something that you really can't get elsewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, and the Evans Scholarship's a great program. We actually have one of our board members at the foundation. She went through the Evans Scholarship, and she can't talk enough about that program. And, yeah, definitely. I mean, just keeps the kids connected as they continue on to become young adults, you know, and find their way in life, you know. So they'll always remember that. We were at an event last night where there's a young girl that came through the First Tee program. She's actually going to the University of Tampa right now, and she's phenomenally smart, really, really well, you know, wonderful GPA and wonderful SAT scores. But, you know, she really kind of is thankful for the opportunity that she got through the First Tee program to go on and get some scholarships and, you know, be able to attend a great college like UT. So
that's beautiful. I love to hear stories like that. And honestly, that's how I got on the show. I've met Mike just carrying around a tripod, and he asked me, you know, what are you doing? Then I told him I used to caddy at Oakland Hills and all this other stuff. And it was like, you know, and now I'm on here interviewing you. You get to talk to a world-class hack on the phone for a few minutes. But another question that I had, you know, this is kind of, you know, this is how the kids get involved. Are there opportunities outside of just, you know, your usual, the kids getting involved and that type of stuff? If you're an adult or if you're somebody in the community who cares about this type of stuff, are there opportunities to get involved?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We need volunteers. Unfortunately, through COVID, one of the things that kind of hit us hard was, you know, people volunteering. There are typically, at one point we had over 70 volunteers. I think right down, we're down to about 30 or 40. Excuse me. A lot of that is because the volunteers are a little bit older, and so they're very COVID cautious. Excuse me. And so, yeah, definitely volunteering, helping out, run the programs on the weekends, be involved in the school, help on our setting up with First Tee programming over at our driving range, even volunteering out on the golf course. You know, we use starters and rangers. People helping the foundation to operate the businesses that we have too.
Now that leads into another question I actually had prepared. So you say COVID affected the organization because you had these kind of COVID cautious volunteers, and I know exactly what you mean. You know, I come from that community. Those guys tend to be a little bit older. You know, they're watching out for themselves, which is, you can't blame them for that. But how do you plan on kind of rebounding going into this kind of post-pandemic era to bring these volunteers back in? Do you have any plans for that? Sorry to put you, that's kind of a CEO question. I kind of put you on the spot with that, but I appreciate if you can get some more on that.
No, definitely. I mean, one of the things that we do to help, you know, kind of tell the story with the foundation to get people interested in helping is we do like a monthly lunch and learn. So the second Wednesday of every month, We do an hour tour around the campus, and we show a few videos and answer some Q&As that people might have. And there's ways that, you know, then we ask for people to get involved. You know, one of those is through volunteering. So, you know, definitely that's been a great vehicle for us. We normally have 10 to 15 people a month come out and do that. And then they learn a little bit about the foundation and find out how they want to get involved. But, you know, volunteering is a great way to give back your time. And then also, too, I mean, golf's, you know, it's not a cheap sport to get into. So, you know, we've got people there that volunteer that, you know, they're able to get a discount when they're playing or hit balls at the driving range and meet friends and create new relationships. So, you know, golf's had an uptick in general, the industry, from COVID. So that's been a good thing that's come out of it.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because the one thing that didn't stop, like I said, I caddied at Oakland Hills. The one thing that did not stop was golf at Oakland Hills. They might have changed some stuff around. They might have added some new parameters. But one thing that didn't stop was golf. And I think it being an outdoor sport, it was able to survive a little bit better than other things. And you also touched on something else. It's not a cheap sport. A lot of times, these at-risk kids are only exposed to these low barrier of entry sports, like a football, mm-hmm. like basketball. Yeah. It's the only thing they can get access to, and there's nothing wrong with that. I was a basketball player growing up, never got a chance to play football. But the exposure you can get from what some people might refer to as country club sports can mm-hmm. be life-changing, mm-hmm. can be mentality-changing, and that's really the impact there. You're giving access, these kids are getting access to things that on their normal day-to-day path they really wouldn't get, and that's really important.
Yeah, definitely. And you're right, you know, it's not an easy sport to get into, but you know, we have some great opportunities, you know, with the kids that come through the program. You know, it's very affordable for our program, and we offer scholarships for the summer camps. Kids play free with a paid adult, so there's no cost for a kid to come out and play golf at Chi-Chi's. And so, you know, we try and break down those barriers a little bit, try and get people out there and get their parents or their mentors or their friends or family to help, you know, with that as well. Because it's a great bonding time, too, spending time on the golf course with a family member or a friend. You know, they'll take those life skills and apply them, you know, in life forever, you know.
Yeah, of course. You mentioned the one thing that I definitely want to touch on, because we got about 5 minutes until my next interview. But you touched on, of course, this is Chi-Chi Rodriguez. This is his influence. You know, this is Florida. Chi-Chi was, I think, was the first Puerto Rican champion. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, he is an amazing guy. He's still alive. He's 86. He lives over in West Palm Beach. And, you know, the passion and the amount of care that he put into the program to get it off the ground was amazing. So, you know, very thankful that he's given his name to the foundation and helps support us, and, you know, brings in his friends to help fundraise. And, you know, we couldn't do it without him and the support of his friends. So, you know, definitely very fortunate.
Now, at the young age of 86, he's still getting out there? Is he still swinging?
He's not. He doesn't play so much anymore because he doesn't play as good as he used to, right? So, you know, when you're used to shooting, you know, under par, and you get out there and you can't do it, I think the frustration kicks in a little bit for him. So he'll come out and hit some putts and some drives, and, you know, a few shots here and there, but he doesn't really play 18 anymore.
Hey, man, as long as you can still get up and get out there and swing him, I hope to, at 86, to be able to get out the chair, let alone walk down the course.
Right.
But look, James, I really appreciate your time, man. This was a great interview. I actually I'm signed up to volunteer. I'm actually coming to, I think you have a meeting May 19th, so I'll be out there.
Awesome.
I signed up a couple weeks ago because I when I came down here, I moved down here from Detroit, and I really wanted to stay involved. This is a great way to give back. I want you to, one more time, can you plug the opportunities that there are to volunteer? If you want to get involved, for all the listeners here, where can they go to get involved?
Yeah, definitely. So please check out our website. That's the best way of doing it. It's chichi.org. You'll see all the information on there to how to get involved with the foundation. But we are looking for volunteers to help out, you know, run the organization, help out with our kids programming, with the First Tee program. You know, we've got stuff going on in the mornings, in the evenings, on the weekends. Big summer camp coming up, so definitely need some help there. And then the second Wednesday of every month is our lunch and learn. So then please take a look at the website. You can always reach out to me directly. My email is just james@chichi.org. If anybody's interested, you just email me directly and we'll get you some more information.
Doesn't get more straightforward than that. james@chichi.org.
Yeah, james@chichi.org. So, and First Tee is a great part of what we do. And in the Tampa Bay market, too, there are multiple different chapters of the First Tee program as well. So there's the First Tee in Tampa that covers Hillsborough County, and there's also a First Tee in St. Pete. So where everybody's listening, if you think you can't, you know, Clearwater's too far away, there are multiple chapters in the area that are looking for help too.
Huge
some
plug.
Great programming.
Huge plug. Yeah. Thank you, James. I really appreciate that. For
yeah,
I think Alex, you had it.
Just want to say thank you. This was as a listener to this interview, it was great.
Good. Front good. Receipt. Well, I appreciate you guys being being into sports and being into the community, and you know, it means a lot for all the nonprofits that are out there too.
Thank you, James. This was thank beautiful. You. I'll definitely be in contact. You have a good afternoon and enjoy the Rays game tonight.
I appreciate it, guys. Hopefully they can get a win tonight. It was a little tough last night.
Yeah, it was tough.
Come back strong tonight. Come back strong. Thanks again,
all right,
James.
Guys. Have all a good one.
All right, you too.
Yeah.
Bye. Dude, that was killer.
That was great. That was great.
A great interview.
I'm ready to sign up. I'm ready to volunteer.
Talk about a humanitarian.
Yeah.
Second Wednesday, Lunch and Learn?
Yes.
Are we going?
We gotta get out there, man. I haven't hit the links in too long and get to give back to the community at the same time.
Dude, so. I haven't pulled out a stick since I moved down here.
Really?
Yeah. It's
wow, that it's, is bad.
I told you in the opening of the show when we said a driver away from Tropicana Field,
yeah.
I'm a driver, a chip and a putt.
I thought you were being humble.
No, I'm not.
No, that sounds, yeah, you're probably shanking. Shankopotamus is there.
I might end up in your window at the apartment next door.
You probably would.
So we got John Rieger coming up in a couple minutes, but one thing that I wanted to hit on, J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith. I'd like to say he's my guy, but he killed me in that finals. I'll never live that one down.
I just want to let you guys know, this guy is a Cavs fan.
Yeah.
The only still Cavs fan after LeBron has left.
We're a strong and proud few, but we're coming back stronger than ever. And just like J.R. Smith, back better than ever, Lululemon, my guy.
Back better than ever. J.R. Smith, for all those who don't know, secured an NIL deal, name, image, and likeness, with Lululemon for their new sports line. For anybody who doesn't know, J.R. Smith is a former basketball player, former champion with the Cleveland Cavaliers, now goes to North Carolina AT&T, and is a freshman golfer. I think he's a sophomore now.
Yeah, yeah.
But got an NIL deal. What do you think this means? NIL, of course, is something new that's been developing. Paying players is not new. Let's just put that out there.
Of course.
he's got this NIL deal. Do you think this opens up the door for other college golf athletes, or is this just more of a it's J.R. Smith thing?
So I'd say there's two facets to that. I'd say yes, it is J.R. Smith. He's already got brand name recognition for being just one of the most entertaining guys on the basketball court and off the basketball court. I mean, you can't put a shirt on the guy, whether he's at a fancy function or he's at a basketball game.
Well, apparently Lululemon can put a shirt on him, but go ahead.
They'll put some pants on him. I don't know if they'll put any shirts on him. Maybe on the golf course. But outside of that, no, I think you first of all, this I believe he goes to an HBCU as well, correct?
Yes, he does.
So I think that's great for that. For getting some brand name recognition to HBCUs, to HBCU golf organizations. But I think through J.R. Smith and through that platform, I mean, I'm tuned into his Twitter. He's a very entertaining follow. I'm going to plug him if you aren't following, because he's talking about his time as a freshman at whatever age, 35 or something like that. And I think, yeah, it opens doors for his teammates, for the sport. It just shines a light on it. And I think you get all it takes is one domino to fall, and then the rest will fall after that.
You raise a good point. I think a lot of times people are like, oh, what's the point? In 5 years, we'll see what the point is.
Exactly. Time will tell whether or not this brand deal is going to be beneficial to other golfers. But I think the NIL, while it has, you know, some challenges, and it could affect the product of certain sports, maybe basketball, football, those higher paying ones. We see, you know, some of the bigger names, the Bamas, the Floridas, the, you know, whomever, start to draw talent away from some of the other schools that may not be able to pay as much their players or have organizations that can pay as much. I do think that it will have an effect on some of the lower schools. I mean, you see guys like Doug Eder, a guy from St. Peter's University who goes on a tournament run in March Madness, get Buffalo Wild Wings sponsorship. And he's no one knew who Doug Eder was going into the tournament. People might not know who Doug Eder was 10 years from now, but for a brief moment in time, Doug Eder was in the mainstream, and J.R. Smith's already been in the mainstream. And so if he can start to shed a light on some college golfers through the NIL deal, and at the very least, we can get some guys that might not have made some money previously, make some money in college, and they get to play golf at the same time, and that's
my
great
thing, man. Share the love, spread the wealth, and you raise something important. As you might not be able to tell, but the Big O is an African American. He's a black male. I'm involved with golf, but a lot of times when I'm on the course, I spin around, I don't see too many people that look like me, right? So the representation, getting that sponsorship on J.R. Smith, who of course is a black man, getting it at a HBCU, which of course is historically black college, for those who don't know what that acronym means, having that type of, this is what we're talking about. You know, we just had James Poulter on with Chichi Rodriguez. He's putting at-risk kids into the game of golf. J.R. Smith is putting the game of golf on, right? We're getting this representation. We're getting some money in the pockets of people who might not have had it for this reason before.
Absolutely.
And I just don't see how you think this is a bad thing.
It's great. And like you said, you want to grow the game, and you want to grow it. And the best way to do that is through diversifying and bringing people that weren't typically in golf into the game of golf. I mean, you look at the Masters from 1900 to 2000. There aren't a lot of black guys on the tour, and we want to change that. I personally want to change. I mean, look who's the greatest of all time, arguably? Tiger Woods.
T. Woody.
Come on. It's absolutely fantastic to see guys like James growing the game.
Yes, sir.
For everyone, you know, golf, there should be no barriers to it. Like any sport, you want kids to be able to pick up and find things that they're passionate about and turn it into a lifetime hobby, like you and I have found, and you don't want barriers to that. And if you see guys like you, then you want to emulate those guys as a kid. I mean, kids are very impressionable, and you see guys like J.R. Smith going back to school, getting their degree, and playing some golf.
This
at the
is
same
literally
time.
So positive. Guys in school, like, how are you even mad at that?
You can't be. His Twitter is great. It's fantastic content. It makes me smile every time seeing this guy talking about how he got an A on his English assignment. And who would have thought that
he is getting an English
a world
degree.
Champion NBA pro athlete would be excited about getting an A plus on an English lit 105 class. You know, I mean, he's just like us.
I'm proud of JR, but this is a great chance to transition to our next interview. We got John Rieger's golf report. We're gonna talk about RBC. I know that was an exciting win, not very much in the moment when it was won, but the way it finished was very interesting. So we're gonna effort John, as Mike likes to say. He likes to say effort people, so I'm gonna start saying that a little bit more.
Let's get him on the line here.
See what we got here. I think he's expecting our call right now. See if we can get him. If not, we'll talk about the match. John, come on, buddy.
Live radio, man.
Yeah, man. I think we got a couple beautiful faces for radio on right now.
Oh, absolutely.
The prettiest.
You reached the voicemail of John Rieger.
John.
All right, John.
Where are you?
John.
John, we got RBC to talk. I mean, we got Jordan Spieth.
I'm going to shoot him a text, but while we're going over this, let's talk about the match.
Let's talk about the match.
June 1st on TNT from Las Vegas. Alex, tell the people what we got going on here.
We got a fantastic event coming up. I think it's one of the you could call it kitschy or corny or whatever, but I think it's great television. And we were just talking about James and about golf and the pandemic, and like you said, one of the few events that was going on was golf, and the match was absolutely entertaining. I'm a Tom Brady guy. I'm sure many of our listeners are, as he's brought a ring to the Tampa Bay area, the Buccaneers. And when he chipped in on that one hole, when Barkley was giving it to him in his ear, and all he said was, "Chuck, shut up." I mean, that's great content. That's great TV. And now we're seeing two previous opponents go together. Now we're seeing Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady team up.
Old school, new school.
To fight, the young guns in Josh Allen and Patty Mahomes, who gave us one of the most thrilling playoff
was
games.
That not
of
a,
all
I don't
want
to get too deep
year.
Into football, but was that not
oh
like that was a college football level shootout?
It was, and it changed the NFL rules now because of the OT.
Wait, what? I didn't miss this.
Both teams now have the ball.
Both teams have a shot now.
They've changed it. I mean, and if you want to tell me that game didn't change it, then I would call you a liar.
It would. I wouldn't disagree. I mean, I got my roommate back here who we went out and watched that game, mm-hmm. and we kept thinking like, oh, it's over. And then like every touch, it was crazy.
Well, I was coming back from the Bucks game, which was also an incredible finish. Didn't go the Bucks way, but we saw that incredible Tom Brady almost did it again, almost like the Falcons 28-3 comeback. And I was like, there's no way this Bills Chiefs game could top that game. And then I get back and I turn in the third quarter and I'm
little did you know
my jaw's on the ground after a 12-second drive to tie it up by Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I felt bad for Josh Allen to not get that the chance to have the ball, but I'm an old school guy. I think you got defense is half the game, and you got to make a stop.
You do have to make a stop.
But we won't see that anymore. At least I believe it's in the play. I think it's just the playoffs they've changed it. Maybe not the regular season.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's where the product really matters anyway. And I think if you extend games any longer in the regular season, we're exposing ourselves to more injuries and more stuff like that. And
I agree.
But we can get into that more into what's wrong with football, what's right with football. Another. Time, but this match is it screw pro golfers, or is the product just demanding different celebrities now?
Well, you know what, I think it comes back to like what we were just saying. It grows the game. It brings eyes to the game that might not traditionally be there. I mean, I would say I'm a casual golf viewer. I'm going to tune into the big events and tune into the leaderboard on Sunday for things like the Memorial or the RBC or things of that nature. But I would say the match I'm always tuned into because I like seeing. You know, like we said, non-traditional golfers, but celebrity status guys play. And Tom Brady's good with the sticks, and so is Aaron Rodgers. And then you pair them with pros. I mean, this year we're not going to see the pros. I love seeing Phil play and Tiger play in that first edition. But I think the match just brings, you know, people love competition. They love celebrity. And at the end of the day, if you love golf, then I think you're going to want to pay attention to it a little bit. At least that's my point of view on it.
I think that's a good take. How do you feel about the 12? Was it always 12 holes? It's only 12 holes this time.
I did not know that. No, yeah. I believe it was 18 last
time. I think
year.
It was 18 last time.
Maybe they're expecting not as good a quality play on the pitch out there. Do you know where it's played at this year? Do we know?
I know it's in Las Vegas, but I'm not entirely sure which course. I know there's probably some golf guy out there who's like, oh, how
screaming.
Do you know?
He's screaming.
How do you not know? But from the beginning of this thing, because this was born out of the T Woods Phil Mickelson beef. You remember that 2018?
Yes.
It was born out of that.
Yeah.
Raised $9 million that year. Since then, over $33 million across several different organizations, and over 17 million meals have been paid for.
That's fantastic.
I mean, this goes back to what we've been talking about. We're not beating a dead horse, but this is the future of golf right here.
Yeah, it's. I mean, like you said, bringing the sport to more people and at the same time helping those people. I mean, that's you can't get any better than that.
You really can't.
That the win, Las Vegas. By the way, we'll clean that up for that one guy screaming.
Yeah, I wish this was a podcast we could edit this, but you know, it's live radio.
It is. Anything could happen.
Anything could happen. So look, we talked about the RBC here. Were you watching that? Did you see the playoff at all?
I did watch the playoff. I thought Spieth was chalked whenever he hit that one in the bunker, and then heck of a shot, heck of a save there. And that was a long putt from Cantlay, and he couldn't put it away. But, I mean, Spieth climbed up the leaderboard. He made that eagle. I think it was on 5.
Hold on. I got this written down somewhere. I think Spieth opened that day tied for 15.
Yeah.
And he was like 4 behind.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, you
historic
know.
Historic comeback.
I think in day three, he was almost not buried, but when you see a guy that like tied for 22nd,
mm-hmm.
he hasn't had a lot of win or success.
He didn't make the cut at the Masters.
Yeah, so
former champion didn't make the cut.
So when you see that
in his prime,
when I read off the leaderboard 2 weekends, or when was that? Last weekend? Yeah,
that
was last weekend. Yeah. I read off that leaderboard. I was like, okay, Spieth, yeah, he's done. And then I tune in halfway through Sunday. I'm like, this guy's rallying.
Yeah.
He's on a heater. He had everything working, too. He was getting off the tee. His approaches, even when he was in the sand, mm-hmm. that sand wedge
yeah.
was nuts.
Well, he didn't have a putter, too. It's one of his calling cards, I'd say, because I think it was Justin Thomas was talking about the Masters. He's like, no guy has better speed on his putts than Jordan Spieth. And he in his post-match interview said, I didn't have a putter and I won this tournament, so I feel like I can go and win anything if I'm playing like that and I'm still able to beat rise above the competition. And I think he said he locked in at the Masters. You know, that was obviously a disappointment. You always want to make the cut, and if you don't make the cut, then you're going to want to focus in. And I think he can maybe take some of this momentum into some future events. He's been great at the Open. He's now won on Easter the past 2 years. So
wait, what?
That's a fun little fact for you. They asked him about it. He said, so he won a tournament.
There's no way that's true. Are
yeah,
you serious?
He won on Easter, the tournament last year. He won the Easter tournament this year. And guess what's on Easter next year?
What is it? Is it the Masters?
The Masters.
Stop!
On CBS. Hello, friends.
Hat-trick? Easter hat-trick?
So, I mean, he said that's a good omen. He didn't put two and two together. But, I mean, hey, if he can get some, if he can get that putter going and he can keep getting out of the, he's like Phil in those bunkers right now. He loves
it. Hey, easy.
I don't know,
easy.
Maybe.
Mr. Lefty, you can't. I really hope. I know Phil's not listening to this, but if he was, he'd be kind of pissed off with that one.
Well, hey, I want Phil back. That's all I know. I feel bad for him, but, you know, it's a tough situation there. And I just hope he gets back on the course. I mean, hey, it was great to see Tiger back at the Masters. And, man, I know, I'm sure you've already talked about that, but the Masters, man.
Hey, dude, go ahead. Talk about that.
Who doesn't want to see Tiger Woods out there? Whether you're a casual fan or you are a diehard Tiger Woods fan, like my buddy who's
What were your expectations? What were your expectations before we had the accident? When that happened, I posted on my Instagram. I said, appreciate a great career.
Absolutely.
Love you, Tiger. Hope you get better.
Didn't think he was going to play.
Not a chance.
I thought he was going to miss the cut. I mean, I didn't.
Forget the cut.
He could barely walk. I didn't think he was going to be walking.
I thought the dude was going to have screws in his legs for the rest of his life and was just going to, you know, be a savant who just was a man of the people, walked around, but never actually played.
I mean, talk about how great the Masters is. It looked like someone was parting the Red Sea every time he was walking from hole to hole. And I mean, it broke my heart to see him on Sunday with that limp because, I mean, that his leg is really, really affected by that injury.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, talk about mental toughness, grit. I mean, and that's just when you come from being such a great competitor. And he would not have played that tournament unless he thought he could win. So I'm really excited. I hope.
I mean, he said it. He was like, exactly. I mean, like, I feel like I could win. And by the time he had made the cut, I don't remember exactly how far out he was, but it's still competitive.
Yeah, he fell off hard on Sunday, but he was going in on Saturday, and people were saying, I mean, maybe. If anyone could do it, it's Tiger Woods. So
2019,
I
didn't expect that.
No
one. Back here.
Talk about great moments. I still remember where I was. I remember sitting at the Penn State Dining Hall watching Tiger Woods.
He had to drop where he was. He had to do that.
Well, it's just one of those moments, like, where were you when Tiger Woods came back and won the Masters in 2019? And I remember it like it was yesterday. I mean, Tiger Woods is one of those must-see athletes that we have in our generation right now and that you and I grew up with and even the generation before us, I think, grew up with when because he won in like the late 90s, I think, one of his first tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
So that's before I was born even.
Yeah, for all you, we're 99 babies over here talking about pre-99 golf.
Exactly. So, yeah, I won't speak to it for sure because I didn't see it. But, I mean, he's been great for the game and every tournament that he plays in, it's elevated the hype, the eyes on it, and really seeing him back at the Masters, which I think I heard Scott Van Pelt say that's just a great atmosphere for him to be in because once you cross the threshold of Augusta, you're locked in. There's no phones, there's no outside noise. It's just people who love golf.
It's almost like you're on another planet.
And it really
like
is.
You're
it's
isolated from the world, and it's all about what you got in front of you. It's crazy.
I hope you and I get a chance to make it out there one day.
We already put our application.
We put the applications in.
It's a dice roll, but
yeah. if the Masters people who are deciding the tickets are listening to this, we'd love to come.
You heard that.
I got my poker ready.
I gave you guys my social security number, for Christ's sake. If you don't let me on the
course. I will sign my soul away to see the Masters.
Please, just one time. You know, maybe when we finally make C-suite or when we finally become, you know, rich executives or something like that, we'll finally get a call. But
that'd be the plan. That'd
hopefully.
Be the dream.
Well, to touch back on the RBC for a quick second.
Let's do it.
Spieth, of course, had a great comeback. Came out of the bunker. Had a great shot.
Yeah.
Do you think this was more about Spieth exercising his demons, or did Lowry, Varner, and Cantley, did they let it go? It seemed like a choke job, if you ask me.
I don't want to call it a choke job, but Lowry did not finish that tournament strong. I thought it was his to lose at one point. Varner was the other
Varner
one?
Varner was, I think, it was two behind Spieth with a lot to play.
Well,
I'll tell you. Okay, Lowry, I think when Spieth finished, he was minus 13. Lowry was minus 14 with five holes left.
Exactly.
So
play par golf.
You
there.
Par golf.
Yeah.
Dub.
I saw 17 was the hole that gave the most bogeys across the weekend.
He had
and the least birdies, so that's a par three, I believe, too. So
he chipped on and it ran off into the water, and then double bogey, and he was done from there.
Yeah.
So, and then me, I'm a Varner fan for probably obvious reasons. You can probably guess. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to see the brothers win.
Of course.
Varner has been in close winning conversations for almost every tournament.
Yeah.
He's in a close winning conversation this weekend. I just like to see the guy finish it out.
Hey, I mean, how old he is?
Nah, he's pretty young.
He's pretty young, that's what I thought. So
he's got time.
There's guys like that we've seen some really good young players step up early in their careers over the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how old Morikawa is, but I'm pretty sure he's very young as well.
Colin's a baby.
And we're talking about NIL and college golfers. I think we've seen a lot of guys come tour ready straight out of college.
Yes.
Which I don't know if that's I wish somebody older here was on the podcast. he's out today.
Mike, where you at?
Yeah, could tell us more about how college athletes have fared coming out of college and playing on the tour. Because, I don't know, I feels like even when I was growing up, that wasn't a very common occurrence. I felt like a lot of the golfers I was watching, you know, your Vijay Singhs or your Bills, your Tigers, were older, established guys, even Ian Poulter, you know, guys that were... That had been around, been on the tour.
By the time they make their statement, they've been around for
exactly. It seemed rare to see young golf. But again, I also think golf has changed so much because we're seeing these big hitters, which I never remember seeing. It was all golf is such a game of finesse. You see these guys like Phil that are so great with
wedges. That's what I learned growing up, and that was like what 6-7 years ago when I was first getting a real handle on the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been drive for show, putt for dough.
Exactly.
That's always what it's been.
Yeah.
But now you guys got driving for show and for the dough.
Exactly. Chicks dig the long ball, as they say do. In baseball, but I think it applies to golf. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau, I feel like you see this guy just hitting absolute nuclear missiles off the tee, and it's kind of like, I don't want to bring it back to basketball, but the three-pointer and Steph Curry, people want to hit.
People want big shots. They want excitement.
Exactly, and there's nothing more exciting than seeing a guy just rip a tee shot. So,
Were you watching the Ryder Cup when he absolutely?
Yes.
Oh my god!
Yes.
And that you see the Europeans go like, "Well, it's over. Like,
yeah,
like, we're not competing with this."
It's incredible. Dustin Johnson. You just have so many guys that are so big off the tee, and that can get them into trouble. They can find their way off the fairway when they hit that far. But more times than not, I mean, you're taking what these like 600-yard holes, and you're making them eagles because you're just hitting so damn far off the tee.
You know who pioneered? Why am I forgetting the name of the shot right now? But you know who pioneered that missile type shot?
I do not know.
T. Woods.
Really?
T. Woods. The stinger.
Okay.
T. Woods put the staple on the stinger a long time ago.
Okay.
And I bring that up because that torque on, even though people love that, that torque on the body is not natural.
No. No.
So you got. I mean. What's his name? Like you said, Bryson was injured for that last tournament,
mm-hmm.
and you would think it's kind of a result of. And Tiger dealt with similar injuries. It's kind of a result of absolutely cranking your body to get around the ball.
Yep.
It can be a little bit dangerous for your longevity.
I mean, talking about Tiger Woods too, that back injury on top of the leg injury. Again, I can't speak highly enough of his performance there at the Masters, and I hope to see him back to come.
Well, we're closing down. You know, we got a couple minutes until we're off the air.
Okay.
Let's do a couple minutes. I really wanted to get to this. It's really windy up here.
Yeah, we're not in the middle of a hurricane, in case you
just,
think we are.
Just to let you know. But who do you got coming out of the NBA playoffs, West and East, right now?
Now we're talking.
Yes,
here.
Sir.
As I said, we are almost in the sports equinox with all these things going on. But so when I made my NBA bracket, I had the Phoenix Suns.
Right.
And the Milwaukee Bucks. I had a repeat of last
repeat
year.
A repeat matchup.
After watching the first round thus far, I would not feel great about the Phoenix Suns if Devin Booker has a calf strain that's going to keep him prolonged injured. But
we got Embiid with the thumb.
Yeah.
We got Chris Middleton with the MCL.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah.
And then Devin Booker, Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
We
Luka.
Luka, of course.
Horrible injury, right?
And then Jamal Murray, who has not been seen.
And Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, and Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
We got some real star power. And it's like
Ben Simmons.
And Ben. All right, stop. Yeah, with his back, right.
Quote-unquote back injury. No, I think, yeah, injuries. Well, one of the one things I was interested about was Devin Booker and Chris Middleton, both Team USA guys. They played deep into the finals last year. Some of those, the extended amount of minutes they've been putting on their bodies could have affected them here come playoff time now. So I think that'll be interesting to see moving forward who can stay healthy. Because I think at the end of the day, health is the one of the most important things in sports, and these teams got to stay healthy to win a
title. NBA champ right now, with the current state right now.
You're putting me on the spot.
I think
if the Suns stay healthy, I think it's their year. I want Chris Paul to get that ring so bad. I really do.
I got the Super Splash Bros coming out of Golden State. Jordan Poole, the pool party is real.
Man,
but
they are good.
I got a quick shout out I got to make. Shout out to my guy D'Angelo at TD Vending Services. Are you a business owner, employee, or a customer of an establishment in the greater Tampa Bay area that would benefit from their services? Visit tdvendingservices.com today to score your best drinks and snacks and request your free legendary vending machine services. Reach out to D'Angelo at TD Vending. They do good work there. He's a good friend of mine. But look, we're going to wrap up the show here. Alex, I appreciate you coming on. You saved the show. I'm not going to lie to you, dude. Like, you got a lot of material. I want to get you back on here. But look, from the Ferg's Sports Bar Clubhouse, I'm the Big O. Oscar Garner, who are you?
I'm Alex Reba. Thanks for having me on, Oscar.
Big O, Oscar Garner III, with Alex Reba, for James Poulter, John, who did not get back to us. I got a problem with you, John. Joe Boudreau and Big Ed on the controls, thank you for listening as we look forward to sharing the great game of golf with you every Saturday from 11 to 12 on the Tampa Bay St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Stay tuned for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection next. As always, God bless you, God bless America, and hit them straight.
Go Rays.
Go Rays.